Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm beginning to feel like something's wrong with us because the first four rows just are always empty. So anybody want to move down closer, you can. Look, Miss Janet, you are a trooper. That's our Janet. She's a trooper. There you go. Of course, we do have 9 girls and 3 chaperones at Camp Blessing. They're on their way home, and they've had a great weekend. I hope you saw the pictures that I posted on Facebook of them, and so we are delighted that they got to get away. Let me go through a couple of things with you by way of announcements. First of all, welcome to everyone. We are delighted to have you in worship with us. You'll notice in your bulletin, if you'll take your bulletin out, that little flap that has the perforated piece. If you'll look at that flap, we're having a little problem getting you to sign the register pad. And so we thought we would try something different. And so if you don't want to sign the registration pad, you can fill this out instead or do one or the other. And on the back, it has the prayer card. So you can put your prayer cards, and then on the same side as the attendance is your reservation for Wednesday night supper. So we have it all in one neat little flap that you can tear off of your bulletin and place in the offering plate. So if you'd like to do that to register your attendance, but if you're a stickler for doing it the same way you've always done it, which sometimes I'm a stickler to do that, then you can fill out the pew pad. But at any rate, please register your attendance. If you'll take a look at the announcements, our pictures, our directory pictures, you can have those done today after church and next Sunday. So please, please get your pictures made so we can have an updated directory. If you'll look on the back of your bulletin, you'll notice the old Chipley Town Fair. That is going to be September the 29th, and we would love to have you help with wrapping our labels around little bitty bottles of water, and if you'd like to donate little bitty bottles of water, we'd be happy to take that too, and we will need volunteers to be out at our table passing out water and information about our church. So if you'd like to do that, please let me or Gail O'Neill or any member of the invite team know that. Next week, I'll have a sign-up sheet for you as well. Today, we do have finance meeting at 5:30, not 6 o'clock, 5:30, because we have to get ready for our budget for 2019, and so we've got a lot to do. Church council is at 7. Both of those are upstairs in the Beacon classroom. So hope to see those who are part of that there. We do need all of the leaders of the different work teams along with all of our other leaders at these meetings. There was one other thing I was going to mention to you, but it is gone, so it'll come back. I know what it was. I wanted to mention to you, for those of you who are not aware, Miss Karen Johnson passed away last Thursday, and this Saturday we are having a memorial service at 11 o'clock, followed by a luncheon, and her family has requested a luncheon for all those who are coming to the service. We will have her celebration of life here, and they intend to continue a celebration at the luncheon. So you're encouraged to attend. I'm encouraging you to help Sally Cobb to get all the food and all the cleanup and all that stuff done. So if you'll please see Sally, she has a sign-up sheet that you can participate in celebrating the life of Karen Johnson and supporting Tom and Thomas in their loss. I think those are all the announcements that I have at this time. If you will, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your love and your grace. Holy Spirit, come and receive our worship. May it be pleasing in your sight. Holy Spirit, come. Kindle your fire of love and peace and strength in each of us as we worship you as the family of God here in this church. For we ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen and amen. Would you please stand and join us in our opening hymn, I Sing the Almighty Power of God, number 152 in your hymnals.
Power of God,
the mountains.
Please remain standing for the gospel reading from Mark chapter 8, 27 through 38. Now Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way there, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus said. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Then he began to teach them about the Son of Man, how he must suffer things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, but Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, and along with his disciples, and he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to the Father's glory with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God this day.
Thanks be to God.
Teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to
profess her faith openly and to lead a Christian life. Now to the congregation. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this person with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple to walk in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. When nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Tell God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations. His glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in the righteousness through their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory. All praise
to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
West, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through
to know more about her Lord and to be a disciple of Christ. And family, your job is even bigger because she'll be with you a whole lot more. And so your job is to teach her about Jesus and help her to grow up to be a strong, strong young woman of God. Let's pray. Father God, we call upon your Holy Spirit to continue to bless this precious angel, Hayden James E. West. Bless her, God, and guide her all the days of her life. Fill her with your Holy Spirit and be with her and protect her and love her and make her strong. For we ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen. Do we have some little sparklers in the church today, Miss Kathy Lee? I know we've got nine that aren't here. We just have one sparkler. Would you like to come down for the children's moment? Come on down. Come on down. You two are important. Come on down. Miss Kathy is going to teach you a lesson this morning. We ask you to be with us as we go from this place today and come back for meetings or go forward to the things that we have to do this week. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Kathy Lee. Thank you, children. I think you get to go with Miss Rusty. As we come to our time of prayer, if you will take notice of the prayer concerns that are listed on your bulletin, there are several other situations that need your prayers. Pray for each other. Pray for our church. And if you will, fill out any prayer concerns on a prayer card for us so that we might lift your concerns to God. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we give you thanks for this glorious day. Thank you for the baptism of Hayden James. Thank you, God, for the ways that you love us and pour your Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you, God, for Jesus, your Son and our Savior. And thank you for this church. God, as we come together today, we lift to you all those who are suffering illness. We ask you to give them a special blessing today. We lift to you all those who have lost loved ones. We ask you to give them strength and peace in this difficult time. We lift to you, Lord, all those who are dealing with loss and the horrific storm that has hit North and South Carolina. We ask you to be with them, be with the first responders, and all those who were involved. God, we ask you to be with that one person who doesn't think that they need you at all, God. We ask you to bless them and to shine your light upon them through us and through others. And God, we pray for the one whom no one else is praying for, that person, God, who is lost and who is so lonely and who needs your blessing. We pray for them this day. And God, we pray for our military, wherever they might be serving, and those who are helping in North and South Carolina. We pray, God, for our church, Universal. We pray for the United Methodist Church. We pray for our homebound. And we pray for this, your church, that you would guide the leaders that you have chosen, that you would guide us all to be agents of peace and love and joy in the world around us. For we ask it all in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If our ushers and acolyte will come to receive this morning's offering. Let us pray. Oh God, we are humbled by your grace and the ways that you support us and love us. We ask you, Lord, to receive this offering. May it be pleasing in your sight and may it be used and multiplied for the glory of your kingdom here on earth. Be with the giver and give them a special blessing. For we ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you. was a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. So lovely. Don't you agree? Don't you agree? Thank you. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the reminder that you do have plans for us and that you do love us and that you are with us at all times. Now, as we hear your word, God, we ask that you would speak through me, move me out of the way, God, and let your words be heard. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds together be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Did you ever hear that before? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Do y'all say that anymore, Caleb? It's not even known, is it? I just showed my age, didn't I? Yeah. That's something we used to say when I was a kid. I grew up in, 7 years of my life in McIntosh Apartments. And in the projects or the apartments, there were lots of kids. And lots of kids means sometimes trouble. So if somebody started getting ugly and fighting because somebody took the ball or whatever, that's what we would say. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not really true, is it? In reality, words and names hurt as much, if not more, than sticks and stones. This month, we have been studying the book of James, and we have learned about changing our behavior to match that of Jesus and maturing in our faith and walk as Christians, followers of Christ. James gives us warnings or admonitions of behavior. We are to be listeners and doers of God's word. He also says we are to hold strong in our active faith. And today, James calls us to mature as Christians by controlling or taming our tongue. Would you join me in your Bibles, chapter 3 of the book of James in the New Testament? I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of God for us today. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you got my email either early in the morning, Saturday morning, or late in the evening, Friday night. And in that email, I had a story. Did you read the story? I'm going to tell the story again for those who might not have gotten the email. Hear this story. In a small town somewhere in Eastern Europe lived a nice man with a nasty problem. He talked too much about other people. He could not help himself whenever he heard a story about somebody he knew, and sometimes even about somebody he didn't know. He just had to tell it to his friends. Since he was in business, he heard quite a lot of rumors and stories. He loved the attention he got and was delighted when they laughed because of the way he told his anecdotes, which he sometimes embellished with little details he invented to make them funnier and juicier. Other than that, he was really a pleasant, good-hearted man. He kind of knew it was wrong. It was too tempting. And in any case, most of what he told had really happened, didn't it? And many of his stories were just innocent and entertaining, weren't they? One day, he found out something weird but true about another businessman in town. Of course, he felt compelled to share what he knew with his colleagues, who told it to their friends, who told it to people they knew, who told it to their wives, who spoke with their friends and their neighbors, and it went around town till the unhappy businessman, who was the main character in the story, heard it. He ran to the rabbi of the town and wailed and complained that he was ruined. Nobody would like to deal with him after this. His good name and his reputation were gone with the wind. Our actions and our words speak to our faith, don't they? Last week I left you with, let our actions speak louder than words, but in reality, our actions and our words must speak to our faith together, our love and our devotion to God. Did you know that the tongue is a muscular organ? It is the principal organ of taste and speaking. And the tongue is the strongest muscle in the human body. That's what I read. The strongest muscle in the human body. James wants those who are followers of Jesus to remember that the tongue, the smallest part of our bodies, is the biggest power that God gave us. Power to encourage and lift up, or power to tear down and hurt. James has encouraged them and us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath in James 1:19. With the tongue, you and I can praise God, pray, share God's holy word, and lead others to Christ. And with the tongue, you and I can also tear up, murder someone's spirit, and bring a lot of heartache. James gives us six pictures of the tongue: the bit, the rudder, fire, a poisonous animal, a fountain, and a fig tree. The bit and the rudder. Anybody ride horses? Anybody ever ride a horse bareback? Some smart people can do that. But usually, the person who's riding the horse is who guides the horse, right? With the reins. The person who guides the horse or the ship must have a strong hand. They must control a strong horse, wild horse, who has a mind of his own, and the ship's captain has to steady the ship in strong winds or during storms. During World War II, there was a poster that said, "Loose lips sinks ships." Say that fast five times. But loose lips also wreck lives. Yes, our tongue has the power to direct others. It is important to direct others in the ways of Jesus. Amen? Our tongue also has the power to destroy through fire poisonous animals. Remember that song in Girl Scouts? I was only in it a couple of years, maybe. We sang, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going." Remember that song? Yes, it only takes a spark to start a fire, but it can grow to destroy a city, a person's life, a home, a neighborhood. In 1871, a fire started in the O'Leary barn in Chicago. It spread and over 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed and 300 people died. The fires we start with our tongue can be as bad as a poisonous snake. Our tongues are unruly and they have a mind of their own at times. Animals have instincts to kill their prey. Some animals are poisonous and some tongues spread poison. Any of you like to watch all the cop shows on television? Michael and I watch a lot of them. I don't know why. But a lot of times, oftentimes, there'll be an episode where somebody was killed, but they can't determine the cause of death because someone used a poison that is untraceable. Untraceable. The person who used the poison wanted to hurt and kill and not get caught. Oftentimes, a person will have his or own or her own agenda. And when in conversation, the opportunity comes to strike just like a snake. That person does just that, causing heartache and pain to someone else. That venomous tongue strikes, and the rest, as they say, is history. King David tells us in Psalm 39, 1 through 3, "I promised I would watch my steps so as not to sin with my tongue. Promise to keep my mouth shut as long as the wicked were in my presence. So I was completely quiet and silent. I kept my peace, but it did no good. My pain got worse. My heart got hot inside me. While stewing over it, the fire burned." David had a hot temper. And he was very passionate. He couldn't control himself. He needed God to help him. Often we are in the same boat. We feel passionate about something or someone, and our heart and our head get in the way of our words. And before we know it, we have spoken the wrong words, made the wrong choice in behavior, and someone is hurt because of us. I tell you this because I know this, and I believe this because it has happened to me. Maybe I should say that I have let loose of my tongue and lived to regret it. I'm sorry for the pain that I caused, but it is done. And I have to go to my God and repent. And when we speak ill words and ugliness and pain, or when we gossip and we share things that may or may not be true, we must go to God and repent. James reminds us that our tongues can be tamed by God. Now, that's good news, because we need that. Amen? Warren Wiersbe says, "If God lights the fire and controls it, then the tongue can be a mighty tool for the winning of the lost and the building up of the church. The important thing is the heart. If the heart is filled with hatred, Satan will light the fire. If the heart is filled with love, God will light that fire." One of our sources that can help us is Proverbs and Psalms. If you peruse these two books in the Old Testament, you will find helpful words that will help you and I to open our hearts to God's leading and protection of our words. I dare say that the reason sometimes we fly off the handle, we lose control, we get too passionate, is because we haven't stayed in the Word, or we've been too busy taking care of other things and not spent enough time with God to store up that spiritual health that we all need. Solomon in Proverbs 17:27 says, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." If we open our hearts to God and ask God to guide our tongues, to guard our thoughts, to guard our tongues, then we can make a difference in our life and the lives of others. Proverbs 26:20-21 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Our tongue has the power to bring happiness and joy, the fountain and the tree. Now think about that. One of my Sawyer's favorite things is the fountain in Pine Mountain, is the fountain up here in downtown. And I call it the square, even though it's not a square. I still call it the square. Okay. That's what it is to me. She loves that fountain, and she knows when we're getting close to it. This is a very smart young girl. I'm not biased at all. She loves that fountain, and when we get close to it, whether we're on this side or the other side or at the Circle K or wherever we are, "Nana, Nana, look, there's the fountain. It's got water, Nana. It's got water, Nana." She loves that fountain. The water flows so effortlessly and beautifully. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he told her he would give her what? Living water. Without this living water, we become dehydrated spiritually. And when we become dehydrated spiritually is when we lose it. It's when we lose control of this tongue. It's when we can't get it together. Ron Hutchcraft Ministry says, "Spiritual dehydration is the shutdown that occurs in your walk with God when you let your source of spiritual strength start to dry up, and it can happen pretty quickly when you live in the kind of spiritual desert most of us live in. Like where you work, where you live, where you go to school. We absorb what our culture pumps into our mind, and it drains the spiritual life out of us. The way to battle dehydration of any kind is frequent replenishing of the source of your strength." Where is the source of your strength? In Christ Jesus, in God, in the Word, in prayer. Water has the ability to soothe. Remember that old commercial, and again I'm dating myself, "Calgon, take me away." You ladies remember that, right? Some of you young people don't. You're going, "Okay, I don't know what that is." Calgon was a bath, stuff you put in your bath, and it, now you call it those little ball things. What are those things called? You know, yeah, whatever those things are. And they fizz in your water. But it was to help you to relax. How often are we so thirsty and only water can quench the thirst? You try Coke, you try Dr. Pepper, you try tea, nothing works. You got to have that water. James says that water is life-giving and our words can give life. But if water is not controlled, it can cause death and destruction. We've certainly seen that this weekend as we've watched the horrific waters in North and South Carolina. Water also cleanses. It washes off all the dirt and refreshes us. God's word is the spiritual water that cleanses us. John 15:3 says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." This is Jesus talking and telling us that we must be connected to him, the true vine. "Abide in me as I abide in my Father," Jesus says. Our words, our tongues can also help to cleanse by lifting folks up, offering encouragement, and showing love. How can we make sure that we are using words to encourage and lift up and speak of the goodness of God? How can we make sure that we don't let our tongues lead us in the path of despair and destruction? I believe that if we seek to listen to our God, to read his holy word, to pray, to worship, to study, to grow in our walk with Christ Jesus, then we can give God control over our tongue. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I am a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal." Remember the story I told you at the beginning about the man who had a tongue problem? Before I tell you the rest of the story, let me explain one phrase. Some of you may have heard this phrase. It's called Lashon Hara. That's the way I say it. Lashon, and another word, Hara, H-A-R-A. It's a Jewish term that means to speak evil of someone, to gossip, slander, really degrading another person in speech. Here's the rest of the story. Now, this rabbi knew his customers, so to speak, and he decided to summon the man who loved to tell stories. He thought, well, if he's not the one, then he'll know who it is. When the nice man with the nasty problem heard from the rabbi how devastated his colleague was, he really felt sorry. He felt truly sorry. He honestly had not considered it such a big deal to tell this story. I mean, because it was true, right? And the rabbi could check it out if he wanted. The rabbi sighed. "True, not true, that really makes no difference," he said. "You just cannot tell stories about people. This is all Lashon Hara, gossip, slander, and it's like murder. You kill a person's reputation and you kill a person's spirit." He said a lot more, and the man who started the rumor was really feeling sorry, and he said, "What can I do to make amends? How can I? Well, I'll do anything you say." The rabbi looked at him. He said, "Do you have any feather pillows in your house?" The guy said, "Rabbi, I'm not poor. I have lots of feather pillows in my house. Do you want me to sell them?" He said, "Nope. I just want you to bring me one." The man was mystified, but he returned a bit later to the rabbi's study with a nice fluffy pillow under his arm. The rabbi opened the window and handed him a knife. "Cut it open. Cut it open." "No! Rabbi, here in your study, it'll make a mess." "Do as I say." And the man cut the pillow. A cloud of feathers came out. They landed on the chairs and on the bookcase and on the clock and on the cat who wanted to play with them. They floated over the table and out the window. The rabbi waited 10 minutes. Then he ordered the man, "Now bring me back all the feathers," and stuff them back in the pillowcase. All of them, mind you, every single one. The man stared at the rabbi in disbelief. "That's impossible, Rabbi. The ones here in this room, I might get most of them, but the ones that flew out the window are gone. Rabbi, I can't do it. You know I can't do it." "Yes," said the rabbi and nodded gravely. "That is how it is. Once a rumor, a gossipy story, a secret leaves your mouth, you do not know where it ends up. It flies on the wings of the wind and you can never get it back. He ordered the man to deeply apologize to the person about whom he had spread the rumor. That is difficult and painful, but it was the least he could do. He ordered him to apologize to the people to whom he had told the story, making them accomplices in the nasty Lashon Hara. And he ordered him to diligently study the laws concerning Lashon Hara every day for a year and then come back to him. And that is what the man did. And not only did he study about Lashon Hara, he talked about the importance of guarding your tongue to all his friends and colleagues. And in the end, he became a nice man who overcame a problem. There's an acrostic that you can find online. It's an acrostic for the word think. Think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? I like that acrostic, but more than that, whether it's true or not, it's not our business to tell it. Whether it's true or not is not our job to share. I like, is it kind? We're learning a song. Jesus has kind hands. We are to have kind hands as well. May God be so kind as to help each of us to guard our tongues this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to sing the first and last stanza of Take My Life and Let It Be, number 399. Let the doors of the church be open so that anyone who would like to join our church by a profession of faith come forward, or by a transfer of membership come forward during this stanza, the last stanza. Let's stand together, number 399.